Yeah, he asked if I would like to be introduced. And he said, there's no really need to, since you know me, I've been here several times and so forth. I really appreciate, I sense the Holy Spirit's working here. I just sense the vitality of the Lord, and I appreciate being here very much so. Again, I would encourage you, I was a pastor for 37 years, and the stress and strain and so forth, I would encourage you to uphold your pastor in prayer, pray for each other, but particularly pray for your pastor and wife as they lead the congregation here. We've been busy, my wife and I, the last couple of days trying to get ready. We have our sons and his wife and family coming. They have two kids. Andrew's 2 years old, and Charlotte's, I think, is 4 years old. And they'll be arriving later this afternoon. They have a 9.5-hour trip from Ohio. And Steve and Joy will be with us till Tuesday morning. And then they'll be taking off for New Jersey, where they'll be attending a wedding. And then they'll be returning back Saturday. So we'll be watching the two kids this week. So we've been busy trying to get ready and so forth. Lots of outdoor work and so forth. There's nothing like grandchildren. Amen? and like he mentioned, after they leave, we'll probably need some rest and some strength, but that will come. Today is July the 2nd, and I decided to give a message regarding 4th of July. And happy birthday, America. We have a rich spiritual heritage, particularly of Christianity. As you know, basically, this country was founded because of religious freedom. People left Netherlands and England to come to this country because of being persecuted. And they might be a little stricter than we would be, perhaps, in the Christianity. But nevertheless, they came to America. And Christianity has had a large part in our heritage as a nation. And my country, Tis of Thee, was written by a Baptist minister, Samuel Francis Smith. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by, again, a Baptist minister, Francis Bellamy. And the words, "In God We Trust," are traced to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Wilkerson. We have a rich heritage. And as a Christian, Christianity, without a Christian nation, in the sense that that's the religion of the land, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate that we do not force Christianity, as it were, but rather through our influence as Christians, as salt and light, hopefully many, many would come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? As a Lord and Savior. During the last two centuries, the United States has become a powerhouse economically, politically, and culturally. It's been used by God to carry the gospel to many parts of the world. What was mentioned this morning, the Philippines. One of our sons spent his wife was with Wycliffe for 10 years in the Philippines, ministering at a Christian school in the Philippines. America has supported missions and missionaries and has had a great impact in sharing the gospel throughout the world. America has seen more enterprise invention as a nation, a higher standard of living we have, better housing, more food, and we men particularly show that, don't we, have more food. We have greater freedom in our civil and religious and personal lives than other people in the world enjoy. My question today is, will we continue to enjoy these blessings? A recent president, probably about 20 years ago, said this: without God, democracy will not stand and cannot long endure. Without God, democracy will not stand and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, that we will be a nation gone under. How true. And I think we're seeing signs of that more and more progressively as a nation. I've titled the message today, Flames That Threaten America. Flames That Threaten America. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Flames That Threaten America. I'm beginning at verse 18, but I'll be referring to the passage throughout the message, so you may want to keep it open to that. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 18. The prophet says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, surely wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briar and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze, so that it rose upward in a column of smoke. Verse 19, by the wrath of the Lord Almighty. And notice the word Lord is all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Sometimes the scriptures we read with a capital L and then the small letters. And then other times it's all capitals. When I see it all capital, it reminds me that he is Lord, Almighty, he's supreme, he's sovereign. There's no other. By the wrath of the Lord Almighty, the land will be scorched, and the people will be fuel for the fire. No one will spare his brother. On the right, they will devour, but still be hungry. On the left, they will eat, but not be satisfied. Each will feed on the flesh of his own offspring. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh. Together they will turn against Judah. Yet for all this, God's anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. Isaiah the prophet has witnessed the corruption of the Israelite people. And in the passage, I will point out four conditions that are present when God judged the nation of Israel. And again, I title the message, Flames That Threaten America. These conditions were present when the fire of judgment were ignited by God Almighty. What are the flames? The first one is a people filled with pride. If you ask me, Bob, what's the worst sin? By far, I believe it's pride. I believe it's something that we all wrestle with. I believe the most godly person, whoever that may be, wrestles with the issue of pride. I think it's an area that we constantly have to put down and recognize. The first condition was a people filled with pride. It says in verses 9 and 10, Isaiah chapter 9, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone, with stone that will bring attention. The fig trees have been felled, But we will replace them with cedars who say with pride and arrogance, God is sending judgment upon the Israelites back then because of their arrogance and pride. Again, I feel the worst sin by far is a matter of pride. Pride. I have often thought there will be more people in hell for no other reason than pride. They were not willing to humble themselves before the living God. They were not willing to admit their sin. They were not willing to accept their emptiness, spiritual emptiness, and turn to God. We cannot be saved without repentance. Repentance means to acknowledge our sin and to turn to Him for His grace and for His mercy. I believe there will be far more people in hell because of pride than anything else. It bothers me. I believe there will be lots of wonderful, good people that you and I know that will be in hell. And I believe there will be some rascals that will be in heaven. Amen? Because they recognize and accepted the Lord Jesus as a Savior. There will be lots of good people, wonderful people, but they do not know Jesus Christ. God was saying judgment upon His people, Israelites, because of pride. They made two mistakes. They ignored the cause of the calamity. And secondly, they arrogantly boasted that they will rebuild. It's as if they thought they did not need God. We will rebuild. And it was an arrogance, not a dependence upon God, but arrogance of pride. The scripture enlightens us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, 1 Peter 5:5 says, warns us that God opposes the proud. But He gives grace, it says, the rest of the verse, to the humble. To the humble. I like that song we just sang. It says, I will not boast in wisdom, however, I will boast only in Jesus Christ. Again, I tell us that I believe there's not one person here who does not wrestle with the issue of pride. I believe the most godly person, whether it's he or she, wrestles with that issue. But we have to recognize it and put it down and boast only in Jesus Christ. No gifts, no power, nothing. It all comes from Him. All comes from Him. A man's, Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. I once read a story about a little frog that wanted to go south for the winter, but it was too far for him to hop. He did not have any wings to fly. And there was two birds that noticed this frog hopping south. And they said, let's help him. And so they got a stick, and the frog grabbed the stick, and the birds took off and was flying southward. Two farmers were staying in the field, and they saw the birds carrying the frog. One said to the other, boy, that was a brilliant idea. I wonder who came up with it. A frog said, I. And he fell to his destruction. Pride. Pride. Flames that threaten America. Pride. Has America become proud? Some refer to us as an arrogant people. And I submit to you, and you will recognize this and acknowledge it, there's no greater, kinder people in the world than Americans. Amen? We have helped many in floods and disasters and generosity. There's no people like Americans in their kindness and generosities and opening their hearts. And yet the paradox is the issue of pride. Has America become proud? Are we blind to things that happen to us? Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said about 150 years ago. And when I read these again this morning, refreshed my memory, I was amazed at what Abraham Lincoln said. Listen to what he said. He said this in 1863. It is a duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with a sure hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon. Wow, what insight. And to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures, empowered by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We have been the recipients, Lincoln said, of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God, intoxicated with a broken success. We have become too self-sufficient. Again, amazing words of Abraham Lincoln. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has grown. We vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with broken success, we become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to God that made us. It reminds me of Isaiah 9, where it says, but we will rebuild, with a sense of arrogance and pride. Wow. Wow. Flames that threaten America. A people filled with pride. A second condition is internal confusion. There was poor leadership for the national leaders. In Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 16. It says, those who guide this people misled them, and those who are guided are led astray. The New American Standard Version said, brought to confusion. I sense nationally that we are confident as we used to be. There's a lot of confusion. This refers to anarchy, distrust, all segments of authority. There's a distrust of the clergy. And I remind you, there are pastors and then there are pastors. Amen? And you have a godly pastor. And there are many godly pastors and wives. But there are many in the clergy who, anyway, also distrust of law enforcement. We see the attacks more and more upon the police officers and the law enforcement. Legal system. distrust of the political leaders, distrust of media, distrust all segments of authority, a sense of confusion, but also a sense of disillusionment. In a sense, I believe eventually we will come to depression, have a national depression that will take place. Sad. There's a third flame that threatens America. Not only pride, and not only the matter of internal confusion. And may I say about internal confusion, we Christians need to be clear on where we stand and who we trust. And the Bible says we are the salt and light. And I believe as this country goes down that road more and more, the light should shine more brightly, amen? And the salt should become more evident, amen? A third condition is ignoring the warning signs. When conditions were ripe for a forest fire, our forest officers will issue warnings concerning the danger. They will discourage people from burning trash, building campfires. When people neglect these warnings, they build fires, they are really flirting with danger. Again, Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 13. About ignoring warning signs. But the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. We as a nation need to recognize and turn. Well, I refer to God because of the culture we live in. I also often will refer to God as the living God. I worship the living God. Because this country, up to a point, we accept the concept of God generically. What they will not accept is the truth of Jesus Christ. You can mention the word of God and get away with it in some places. That's why I make a distinction, and I refer to my God as the living God. Amen? And that's who I serve and worship and love. They ignored, in verse 19, but the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. I believe we got to a point as a nation where we do not heed the warnings of God's judgment. As I mentioned, this country was built upon Christian principles as people came from Europe and founded this country. The heart and core was religious freedom. And I am thankful that they did not say that we will say that America has to be, every way America has accept Christianity. No. That's not biblical. The biblical is for the salt and light to be progressive and active and for people to recognize their need and come to a Savior. But I also believe that around 1930 and so forth, that this country has always, well, I would say, even though it wasn't a Christian nation, I hope you understand what I'm going to say next. It followed Christian ethics and principles. It taught things. It believed things like Bibles in the school system and so forth. And they may not be Christian per se, but they acknowledge and they practice as a nation Christian ethics of honesty and openness and truth and so forth and so forth and so forth. Well, I would submit to you that this country no longer practices even Christian ethics. In fact, if you dare to do that, they will say you're being judgmental and narrow-minded. Even for many years, this country, even though it wasn't Christian per se, it believed and followed for government all the way down, families all the way, follow Christian ethics. Christian ethics. But I believe that day has pretty well been done away with, even the aspect of Christian ethics. There's a fourth condition. Flames that threaten America, pride and confusion, ignoring the warning signs, and there are many of them. I sometimes wonder how many national disasters are because God's judgment. And I would not say it publicly because I don't know. But I sometimes wonder the unrest, the confusion that we see. A fourth condition was a progressive worsening of wickedness. And we see it more and more. It says in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 9, surely wickedness builds like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the four thickets ablaze so it rolls upward in a column of smoke. Progressively gets worse and worse and worse and worse of wickedness. I read one time, I don't have any notes here, but I read one time, I think it was in the 1950s, the problems they were facing with children. And then compare with the like year 2010, and what a difference. The kind of problems they were facing. In 1947, sociologist, historian, Dr. Claire Zinnerman published a book, Family and Civilization, in which he studied the breakdown of various cultures. He found that in every society, the breakdown of the culture was preceded by the breakdown of the family. He discovered 11 common elements that were always present in these cultures. I'm going to mention just 5 of the 11. He said there would be an increase in rapid, easy, and faultless divorce. Secondly, fewer children there will be, and less respect for parents and parenthood. Third, he said there'd be a breakdown of most inhabitations against adultery. And we see in this country, there's almost no sense of guilt for adultery. He said, fourth, there'd be a rapid rise and spread of juvenile delinquency. And fifth, he said, there'd be a common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. Conditions, are we a nation? Are we ripe for judgment? I believe we are. A people filled with pride, internal confusion, ignoring of warnings, a progressive worsening of wickedness. I ask, what can we do? What can we do as Americans, as Christians? What can we do? Again, a very familiar passage, verse 2 Chronicles 7:14, says, if my people who are called by my name will humble, isn't that interesting? Will humble themselves. As I mentioned, the number one sin, I believe, is pride. And it says here, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, his people. And today we would say Christians. He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Wow. You and I, who have accepted Jesus Christ, are directed to have personal responsibility. Personally, be distinctive. Be salt. Be light. When I say salt, I'm not talking about legalism. Be salt and light. Recently, I say this for illustration only. Recently, I came across a teacher. I think she's a teacher at the school system. And I mentioned in the conversation that I was a Christian. And she said, I knew. I could tell. Huh. Wow. I could tell. I believe for every Christian, when at the workplace, people we come in contact with, we ought to be different. Amen? And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about those kind of things different. I'm talking about different of the heart and core. Salt and light, Jesus said, we are the salt of the world. And if the salt loses its flavor, it's worthless, he said. We are the light. And I once was thinking about the two descriptions that Jesus gave of Christians. Salt and light. What do they have in common? And I have came up with the idea what they have in common is they penetrate. Amen? Salt penetrates the meat. It gives flavor to the food. It penetrates. And it can be very subtle. Or it can be very striking there, very salty. And I like that it can be subtle. Light, on the other hand, penetrates. What does it penetrate? Darkness. Go in a bedroom. Turn down, shut the blinds, and go in total darkness of a room. And put on a flashlight. And the light will penetrate the darkness. In the factories where you work, in places you work, and people you come in contact with. We are to be salt, and we are to be light. Amen? And not in a proud way, not in a legalistic way, but the heart and core that people say, there's something different about you. What is it? What is it? Be distinctive. Make the effort and investment personally. Again, I will not boast in anything, the song said. And pride and wisdom and gifts, abilities, I will boast only in Jesus Christ. Practically, you can influence and impact individuals and families for the cause of Jesus Christ. Politically, if we are to remain blessed, we must be right with God. We must live right before men. We must stand for what is right. And I appreciate those politicians who are Christians and who make a stand. And I agree, it's almost an uphill battle. Amen? It's almost as if you go against the stream. And yes. And I believe it's only to get what? Lots worse. These are the flames as we celebrate the birthday of America. These are the flames that threaten America. Pride. Confusion. Ignoring the warning signs, whether it's a natural disaster, whatever the warning signs are. And a progressively worsening of wickedness in America. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for Isaiah, for his boldness. I'm thankful for the words of Abraham Lincoln, for his clarity of vision. Father, again, cause us to repent. Cause us as Christians who have not been the salt light that we ought to be, to repent and to ask you by your Holy Spirit that you would give us that distinctiveness in a right way not in a legalistic way, not in a proud way, but in a way that will bring honor and glory to your holy name, we pray. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.